Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the LG Equipment's Q3 FY17 earnings conference call hosted by Asian Market Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in a listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Kamlesh Kotak from Asian Market Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Leo. Good day, everyone. On behalf of Asian Markets, we welcome you all to the 3Q FY17 earnings conference call of LG Equipments Limited. We have with us today Mr. Jairam Varadaraj, Managing Director of the company. I request Mr. Jairam to provide us an overview of the quarterly results, and then we shall begin the Q&A session. Over to you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Kamlesh. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for being with us this afternoon. Like our normal proceedings, I will focus on the consolidated results for the quarter, and I will talk about the quarter results in comparison with the last year's quarter. Now, if you look at the sales number, it seems like we have got a significant drop of almost 160 million. But we need to moderate that with the fact that Q3 of last year we had the sales of Bel Air included in the consolidated results. That sales was around 115. So net, the drop in sales is about 50 million. And bulk of the sales drop has been because of a huge increase, a huge lumpy order that we got in Q3 of last year from the water well segment, which has not happened this year. So the summary of sales is, from a verticals point of view, India and globally, things have grown reasonably. All the industrial verticals have grown. So the profitability and all are reflective of that. So having clarified on the sales, our EBITDA should have been, considering there is a marginal reduction in material cost compared to the previous year Q3. Taking that into account and the drop in sales and the loss of contribution because of loss in sales, we have actually got a better than the normative EBITDA. Nevertheless, I would explain to you that there are certain costs which are one-time in nature, which are underlying the results. One is our project that we have been working with BCG that is was not there in Q3 of last year. So there is a expense relating to that that is accounted in this quarter. The other thing is, we have gone through Ind AS for this year, and there have been a lot of restatements of various heads of account. Two things that stand out significantly are the way we are accounting R&D expenditure and the way we are accounting foreign exchange fluctuation. So those things have had a bit of an impact, but they are not, they don't have a cash impact, they're just an accounting impact, and they've come into play in this quarter. So overall, my assessment is that profitability in Q3, barring these one-time kind of adjustments and expenses, continues to remain at the same positive level. Our EBITDA at 13 point odd, at on a standalone basis, it continues to be healthy. In fact, on a consolidated basis, compared to Q3 of last year, at an EBITDA level, we have kind of grown. So that's really the summary of the financial numbers. The overall market is, the biggest buzzword that has been affecting our Q3 results is demonetization. But it's a little difficult to to kind of unravel the specific impact of demonetization. Obviously, when a significant chunk of the currency in circulation has been removed and there is a kind of a disruptive rebuild of currency supply, there will be an impact. But it's very difficult in a capital goods kind of an environment to say this was the exact quantum of the impact that we've had. But the reality is, compared to Q2, our sales numbers are not significantly different. But having said that, normally in Q3, we will have a bit of an uptick in sales, which we are not seeing compared to Q2. So probably that could be attributed to the demonetization. Overall, in all the verticals we have grown, like I said before, and we're continuing, we think that Q4 also we will continue to grow. But I must caution that our Q4 results are not going to be as good as the Q4 results of last year, because there were certain lumpy orders in Waterville that came into our books in the last quarter of last year. So this is really a summary of our numbers and the current market situation. I would be happy to take the questions, but before we get into the Q&A, we're having our analyst meet, our annual analyst meet on the 17th, and we're quite thrilled by the overwhelming response that we've got, and such of you who have not registered, we'd be happy to have you as well. So thank you for that, and now I look forward to your questions.
Sure, thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Participants who wish to ask questions may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to only use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Anyone who wishes to ask questions, please press star and 1 at this time. We have the first question from the line of Ravi Swaminathan from Path Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, thanks for taking my question. In your initial remarks, you had mentioned that depreciation had kept the growth flat on a year-on-year basis. Which were the end verticals which had seen maximum impact? Was it the waterwell business or any other vertical which had seen more impact than the others? I mean, which are the ones, I think generally it would have been the ones which are routed through the sales, which are routed through the dealers, which would have been more impacted than the direct sale to industries. If you can give an understanding on this, it will be really helpful.
Like I said, Ravi, we have grown on all compared to Q3 of the previous year as well as Q2 of the current year. Mm. Now, on all verticals except Waterwell. Yeah. Mm. Now, Waterwell is also a function of the seasonality and our own presence in the market. Yeah.
Oh. Mm.
So, that is why I'm unable to say specifically what's been the impact of demonetization, because all the industrial verticals, irrespective of whether we have moved the products directly to customers or through the channel, we have grown.
Okay. And the Waterwell business, it is a lumpy business you had mentioned. I mean, overall market, does it still exist, or is it that just that we didn't win any?
Well, the market is, compared to last year, it's a little subdued, the market.
Okay.
And our position right now is not as strong as it used to be. But we're working on multiple things to get there, and we're very confident we will get there.
Okay. But can you give a sense as to how big was the market, at least, if not for us, how big was the Waterwell market?
You know, Ravi, that's one question that keeps getting asked over the last multiples of years, and I prefer not to go there.
Oh, okay, sir. Okay. And, sir, regarding the international business, if you can give an outlook on the profit, revenue and profitability of the major subsidiaries, Patterns, Rotates, LG USA, etc., would be really helpful.
Since this is very specific and very detailed, Ravi, is it possible for us to do this offline?
Sure, sir, definitely. And at least, are they profitable or not? I mean, directionally, are they improving in terms of growth, etc.?
All compared to last year, you know, we had significant losses in Bel Air, we had significant losses in Australia, we had losses in Brazil, we had losses in China. Today, the only subsidiary that is making a loss is China, and that too one-tenth of what it used to be. So all the other subsidiaries are profitable.
Okay. Got it. And sir, regarding our new products like oil-free screw compressors and centrifugal compressors,
yeah,
how has been the traction for them? Are they growing faster than the overall company level growth? If you can give a sense, it will be helpful, sir. Thanks. That was my question.
Centrifugal compressors are, you know, we are still in the development mode. We have sold a few machines, but they are more of validation and testing machines. And like I mentioned in my previous, in the past calls, it's a two-year program by the time we complete the entire product range. So for us, centrifugal compressor is not about current revenue, it's a build-up for the future. As far as oil-free compressors are concerned, there are two segments. There are project type of segments, which goes into power plants and steel plants. That segment of the business is literally almost dead in India. The investments in power assets are highly stressed, and nobody is really expanding on that segment. And the same case with steel and cement. We're waiting for that large project investment cycle to happen. But we do have growth. We have grown more than last year. But is it better than the lubricated thing? I would not say it's better. It's almost at the same level. But we have gained traction. What is important to understand, we have gained traction in the non-project related business.
Okay.
Which are more sustainable and don't have huge cyclicality.
This would be the replacement ones of...
These are one-off purchases, not part of a big project.
Okay. But would they be largely dependent upon projects only, centrifugal and...
A big chunk of, you know, you get lumpy sales in centrifugal and oil-free that are linked to projects.
Okay. And if these projects start kicking off today, when will compressors demand would come in?
Well, it depends. I mean, it depends on the size of the project. If you look at a cement project, they order probably about 4 to 5 months before their actual requirement. If it is a power project, sometimes it is a year before. So it all varies.
Okay. Okay, sir. Thanks. Thanks a lot, sir. Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ruchir Khare from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question. Sir, on the margin front, you mentioned that there were quite a one-off items which led to the margins come down in Q3. I understand it would be difficult to quantify, especially in terms of BCG. But overall, like if you could give what was the contribution of R&D and other forex expenses on the margins coming down in this quarter? If not specific, in terms of percentage, if you could give it.
It's not expenses, actual expenses.
Yeah,
explain to you, these are accounting issues.
Right.
In terms of... the foreign exchange, it was close to about 15 million and in the quarter. And in terms of R&D, it's probably around 20.
Okay. Thanks for that. And sir, now coming to the strategy part, typically in the international business, now with the losses coming down in most of the subsidiaries and hiving of other loss-making subsidiaries, so what is the roadmap going ahead, like 2 years down the line, or maybe a little longer time frame? You shared earlier that you shared an encouraging outlook that there is a clear-cut spot available in the global market which could be achievable. So from here on, what would be our ambition, number one, and number two, the medium-term targets which you would have set for achieving the same?
Sure. We talked about this a few calls ago. Let me summarize it. Our ambition, we believe that there is an opportunity to be a significant player, and we believe that significance is to be number two in the world.
Right.
The question really was, do we have the products, and will our products be acceptable? Will our products be capable of delivering all that? That has been proven unequivocally in the last year, in the last couple of years. The kind of attention our products are getting and the kind of appreciation our products are getting leave us with no doubt that the product readiness is absolutely there. Now, having a product alone doesn't mean that you can turn the switch on and start getting customers to start buying your product. So, two things. The thing that is critical for us to build is the front end of the company. Now, all these years, we've spent a lot of effort in building the back end of the company. Today, our manufacturing systems, our quality systems, our technology and our products are truly world-class. So we don't have any doubt or any concerns that there will be any, you know, shortcomings there. But it is also true that we had a very, probably a very trivial and superficial understanding of the challenges in the front end. And we are discovering that we need to do a lot more in terms of process, in terms of specific initiatives to get traction in the front end. We are testing that project out in India, and we are getting some extremely positive results through the BCG initiative. Now, the idea, the strategy for India and the process for India is very different, because in India as a brand we are known and we have huge amounts of references and strengths in the market. But nevertheless, we have described, in spite of it, the lack of clear structured process was, we were losing opportunities even in a market like India where we have a significant share. When you take this and go into international markets, you not only need a process, but you need the process as part of a subset or a part of a larger strategy, which is what we are now working with BCG in phase two to really look at, okay, we are in India, we have a good market share in India, now we have put the processes in India to be able to strengthen our presence in India. Mm-hmm. How do we take this game to some of the key markets in the world? What is the strategic posture that we need to build? And under that strategic posture, what are the specific processes that we need to have? So this project is going to start in April of this year. And we expect that by October, November, we will have a very clear the how part of our ambition. In terms of the financial numbers for phase one of our journey, which is really ending in, 18-19 is our first phase. Our aspiration is about 480 to 500 million US dollars. Right now, we are at probably around 230. So doubling it in 2 years is really an ambition. Maybe we will miss that number in 18-19, but we are definitely on the trajectory to get there.
Okay, fine. That was helpful, sir. Thanks a lot. Sir, again, the numbers regarding the losses in various international geographies, I would also shoot a mail. I would be recording those numbers.
You can take it offline with our CFO, Sriram.
Thank you, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Kashyap Pujara from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir. And I just wanted to check with you some of your thoughts on how the current situation in US would imply on our business going forward, you know, especially where they are talking of being more inward focused. And how would our, what do you see readings on our business? Because we would predominantly be exporting to the US in that sense. So do you see any risks? What are your global issues that you would like to, which you see on the landscape?
See, the global trend seems to be extremely parochial and protective behavior, whether it is Brexit and now it is what is happening in the US under Trump.
Yeah.
We kind of recognized not that the world behavior will change, but we recognize that if we have to be a global player, we need to be able to be closer to the customer in terms of manufacturing. Now, we also recognize that today the market is supporting our product, not just because of the performance of the product, but there is also a price incentive that we need to put on the play. That's because we are made in India, unknown brand and whatever else. Now, in order for us to manufacture in a high resource cost nation, but still retain our cost competitiveness, we need to reimagine our manufacturing process itself, which we started even 2 years ago. So we believe in the next 2 to 3 years, we will have a manufacturing model which will enable us to produce products in high resource cost nations at the same cost at which we are building in India. Now, in the interim, in the next 2 to 3 years, will there be a huge dislocation to our operations in the US? I don't think so, because most of the large players in the US market are importing their product into the US. Now, they will be impacted, and as a consequence, they'll have to correct their prices to reflect whatever provisions of duty that are levied on imports. So I don't see there will be any differentiated or very specific impact to our company.
Okay, but when you're talking, so in the interim, what you are implying is that, other competitors also have a similar model and they would also get impacted. So it would be a similar impact. So it will not be something adverse just for LG. But overall, when you're talking of production centers in US geography or in any of these high resource geographies, should we read this that these would be, assembly points, that the errands would get made in India, which would get exported, and the front end will be assembled there? Should we basically think of this setup, or should we think that, you will do right from, the machining and everything at that level?
Like I said, errand production is not going to be done anywhere else other than in India for the foreseeable future.
Sure.
Errand, typically in a compressor, the errand represents less than 30% of the total cost of the machine. So that going from India is not going to materially or significantly alter our competitiveness. But what is really going to impact us is the assembly cost. But again, the point is, we recognized even before all this that not for these reasons, but for the reasons of being able to swiftly respond to customer requirements, that we had to manufacture in some of the larger markets. So we will do that. We will do the assembly, not the errand production.
Sure, but overall, you know, the warehousing strategy wouldn't work. You don't think that, you know, having different, points, you know, of warehousing and inventorizing products there would not help. I mean, you would still need to have assembly points across different markets.
It depends on the size of the market, you know, if the market size is small and your presence in that is very small, even a warehouse is not viable. So there are multiple, you know, types of countries and your presence in the country. So if you look at large country, small presence, warehouse is fine. But large country, large presence, warehouse will not work because the inefficiencies and wastages of having inventory of every specific model in sufficient quantity will just not be financially viable. And Murphy's Law always kicks in. The customer will always want what you don't have. Yeah.
Sure.
So in large markets where your presence is big, you need to have manufacturing.
Sure. And to understand, you know, the numbers that you just cited, that the aspiration to be a $500 million in the next 2 or 3 years, for that, I mean, our current capacity is basically, you know, can take us there. I mean, we don't need incremental capex.
We won't need if you look at our gross block to sales ratio today, it won't move up proportionately to the sales number. There could be some marginal balancing investment of very small numbers. It's not going to be proportionate. So we have enough capacity of the large machine tools or investments. We have enough capacity there.
Sure. And sorry to just extend this, but when you are talking of these numbers, I mean, I understand, you know, what would your conservative view be of the Indian business of this, because whatever said and done, you know, we've still been seeing pretty anemic capex growth, you know, in the country over the last few years, though we did grow last year and in the first half. But how do you see India shaping up in the next 2 years based on what you're seeing on the ground?
Well, right now everybody is there is a mixed feeling about where this country is headed, right? I think everyone acknowledges that demonetization was a good thing for the country, but how the dust has been kicked up quite a bit. How the dust is going to settle down and what will be revealed at the end once it settles down is very difficult to predict. But the fact is, it's a good thing. Now, the positive impact of all this, when it will happen, is very difficult to predict. In terms of the other fundamentals, I think everything seems to be okay. People who had invested a lot of capacity, they are surely seeing capacity being utilized more, which means they are going to come around in terms of the next round of capacity build-up. But unfortunately, predicting the timing is becoming very difficult. But overall, I'm quite optimistic that India will grow only one way. It is going to grow up. But when in that inflection is difficult to say.
Sure. Okay. Thank you so much and all the best. And I'll see you at the on 17th at the visit.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to our participants that you may press star and 1 to join the question queue. Next, we have a follow-up question from the line of Ravi Swaminathan from Path Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, I had a few more questions. Just wanted to know, what is the ratio of after-sales service? After-sales service.
Yeah.
As a percentage of overall revenue, a ballpark number would be helpful, sir. And how it is directionally headed?
We are after-sales in our, it varies, Ravi. Our India after-sales business is far better than our after-sales in the rest of the world because we have a lot more feet on the street, we have more process, we have more distributors. So if I take after sales, I can give you a range. I don't want to say which market, how much. But if you look at it, we are anywhere between 25, starting at the best, down to about probably 8% or 9% in some markets.
But patents would be having a higher...
No, that is, I wouldn't take that as after sales of LG. It is more a patents is a distribution company. That is, I'm excluding patents from that thing.
Okay, but potentially globally, after sales is like around 30-32%.
Yeah, about 33%, yes.
But India also can go up to those levels?
It can, but you know, the Indians are still cheap. So therefore, the service cost that we charge on our customers is reflective of Indian resource cost. Whereas if you look at the service revenue in international markets, the service element, not the parts element, is pretty significant, and that's because the resource costs there are high.
Okay. So, and to numbers related, you had mentioned the R&D and Forex expense loss during this quarter. Forex was 15 million and R&D was 20 million. Can you give the corresponding number last year, that is for the 3Q FY16? And also the the expenses related to the consultancy charges with respect to BCG.
BCG consulting, I would like to keep it out of this conversation, Ravi, because I said that earlier there is a certain agreement with them that neither of us revealed that. As far as Forex is concerned, it is about previous year, same quarter, because previous year we didn't follow Ind AS, so we had to restate previous year to this. The equivalent thing will be 2 million.
Forex is 2 million and R&D expense?
R&D was zero because this is an accounting treatment.
Okay. Okay, sir. Thanks.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we'd like to remind the participants once again that you may press star and one to join the question queue. We have the next question from the line of Manish Goyal from Enam Holdings. Please go ahead.
Yeah, very good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Manish. How are you?
Good, sir. Thank you so much. Sir, on, say, looking at India numbers, say, not quarterly, but on, say, 9 months, what has been reported, where we see a revenue growth of 6%. If I were to, then broadly, if we were not to account for Waterwell compressors,
yeah,
excluding that, what is the sense that our growth would have been?
Can you repeat your question, Manish?
So what I'm trying to understand is that if we remove Waterwell, not only for quarter three, which was lumpy, in the last year you had a good inflow, but I'm more looking towards 9 month numbers.
Yeah.
That overall sales are up 6%. But if I were to remove the impact, just trying to get a sense that how was your rest of the business growth has been in the first 9 months?
Well, if I give you that number, you'll be able, you're a brilliant mathematician, Manisha. You'll be able to figure out the size of the Waterwell market, right?
Okay, so let me rephrase it. Has the rest of the market grown in double digits?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Okay. So, and at least that trend is continuing.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Our growth in industrial verticals are a healthy mid-double-digit.
Mid-double-digit. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And how is the market growing then? Are we gaining market share or is it that we are growing in line with the market?
Well, I think probably in certain segments, if I take this mark, this thing, I would say we are probably holding on to our market share. I don't think during this period we have gained any share in the market. No.
Okay.
But in the future, that's what we intend to do, but we'll have to wait and see.
Okay. Because where I'm coming from is, sir, in three, Cummins has reported compressor sales growth of 25%. That is that there has been a little disconnect, because for even 9 months they have grown at 15-20% on compressor. So that is the I'm trying to correlate with.
See, common sales of compressors is not just to water well, Manish.
No,
it is also to
overall,
construction
overall,
and mining.
Yeah.
And our construction and mining is also grown at that level.
Okay.
So I don't see any inconsistency between our numbers.
Okay. No, I was not referring only to water well. I was generally looking at the overall market as a compressor.
Right.
Okay. And sir, on the
and to talk about market share, we've grown market share in our aftermarket.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and sir, on the ambition of doubling revenues in 2 years, this is you are saying after completing the implementation of BCG program, which is likely to happen in October.
No. See, the BCG first phase program, which was India centric, is already completed.
Okay.
Now we are rolling that out pan India. Yeah.
Okay.
We have completed it in 3-4 different locations. Now we are rolling it through all our distributors, all our sales offices. Right.
Okay.
So it's a pretty comprehensive program. It's not something that can happen in a few months. So by the time the whole thing is rolled out, it will be probably September of 18.
Okay. Okay.
So that is
okay.
India-centric.
Okay.
Now that we have seen the results that we are getting out of this program, even in a short period, we believe that we need a similar program, but not the same program, because the same program can work where you have a good infrastructure, distributors, etc.
Okay.
For the rest of the world, we need to understand what are the markets that we need to focus on, and for those markets, what are the specific strategic initiatives we need to take, and then tie those strategic initiatives to specific processes that we have implemented, like what we have implemented in India.
Okay.
That will start in April and move up till October.
Okay. So just to clarify, the India implementation is been completed.
Yes.
Okay. And both of these initiatives will then take our revenue, doubling our revenue, right, sir?
That is the intent.
Is the intent, right? And ideally, today the international revenue share would be around 45%, or how
it kind of hovers month on month. It is around 45%.
Okay. And potentially we will be looking to somehow manage this ratio going forward as well.
Yeah, because you know, if Belair had stayed on, it would have crossed 50, right?
Okay.
So there are, that was a bit of a setback. China was a setback. But then we are now working on other programs which will accelerate the markets outside as well.
Okay. So then, sir, that means ideally for us, if you want to maintain that market share, then India should ideally also double revenues, which looks to be quite challenging.
Well, like I said, when I mentioned that the $500 million, I said it looks like doubling in the next 2 years, which may seem a little ambitious, but we are in that trajectory. Whether it takes 2 years or whether it's going to take 3 years, but we are in that trajectory. Yeah.
Okay.
And today, India is not in the most robust of states, right? So if all the stuff that is being talked about kicks in, then growth of, at one point we used to grow at around 20-25% on the industrials. Yeah.
Right.
So if that kicks in, then there is a good opportunity for us to do it. If at 20-25% growth, we can double it 3 years.
No, I agree, sir. And you will probably by that time, probably a year or so, you will probably have centrifugal and other products also in pipeline. Last question on, say, if I take 9 months, sir, And if I want to look at it, that if I want to exclude the BCG one-time expenses and say Ind AS impact, would our margins adjusted for that would be higher than what we would have reported?
At a contribution level, our margins are better than.
Okay.
The year to date is better than last year. Yeah.
Contribution margin. Okay. And how? So this BCG expenses will continue till Q2 FY18, right, sir?
Right.
Okay. Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Right.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Kashyap Pujara from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just one follow-up question, because I think I just missed a point in between. Could you just give a breakup as to what is the total industrial revenue as a mix on the India business? On the standalone, how much is industrials?
You know, I don't like to share that because the rest of it is portable, right?
Yeah.
Giving away that piece of information. That's too segmentally sensitive.
Sure. But did I hear you right when you said that industrials have grown at mid double digits? Would
yes.
Okay. Okay, fine. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a final reminder to our participants that you may press star and one to join the question queue. The next question is from the line of Vipul Shah from Sumangal Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Has BCG identified the focus international market for us?
No. The project will start in April.
Okay. And once they identify, what will be the CapEx guidance for those markets over medium term, over next 2 years?
You'll have to look at it, Vipul. I don't know. It's only when the complete analysis is done. It is certainly clear that our aspiration to be number two is not going to happen purely with organic growth.
Okay.
There will be a combination of both organic and inorganic growth. Now, what will be the size, complexion, and complexity of the organic, inorganic growth is very difficult to even state it now, because we need to go through this entire project and study. Yeah. So it's very early to say.
And sir, regarding the analyst meet which is being held on 17th, is it in Coimbatore or is it in?
It's in Coimbatore in the new plant.
Okay, so for registering, we'll have to send the mail to company secretary, right, sir?
Yes.
Okay, thank you, sir. All the best for that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else who wishes to ask questions at this time may press star and one. So, as there are no further questions, I'd like to hand the conference back to Mr. Kamlesh Kota from Asian Market Securities for closing comments.
Mr. Jay, just a couple of points I wanted to just have your view on. Sir, any color on how the railway business is shaping up for us?
Railway is pretty flat for us compared to last year, Kamlesh.
Mm-hmm.
So, in terms of... The investments have not gone into building rolling stock. But last year was a good year for railway, so maintaining that itself means growth. Yeah.
So we find more of our product application in rolling stocks or engines, or where exactly?
Oh, we are in the what I call as rolling stock is in the locomotive.
Right. Okay. And sir, secondly, last time you told that the capex will be very minimal. So, any change in that? How much did we incur this year in terms of the investment?
No, in terms of the actual cash outflows, about 16 crores. And we will probably commit another 14, but the actual cash outflow will go next year. This 16, bulk of it is was maintenance or just general upkeep, a little bit of IT investment. So nothing significant on the capacity side. We don't need it.
So 14 crore you said would go in the next year, right?
14 crores in terms of cash will go out. We'll make a commitment this year, but the cash outflow will be next year.
Okay. And nothing significant in this quarter as well?
No.
And we are on course to our debt reduction program?
Now, our net debt is at around 170. And we expect that by close of year, it could be at around 160. Yeah, conservatively. Our plan was if India grew at around 10 to 12%, if it had grown 10 to 12% in terms of overall in 16, 17 and maintained that in 17, 18, our plan was that we will be zero debt by around September, October of 2018.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even if, let's say, India grew by, let's say, 13 or 14% for 17, 18, and it continued on into 18, 19, we're still on track. We can still make it.
Okay. Great. Great, sir. That's very useful. So, there are no more questions. Rio, any questions?
No, there are no further questions.
Thanks. So, on behalf of Asian Markets, I sincerely thank everyone for joining for this call. Special thanks to Mr. Jairam and his team for providing us the opportunity and providing the insight about the company's business and financial performance. With that, we conclude the call. Thank you and have a good day.
Thank you, Kamlesh.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Asian Market Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.